Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from a very windy Pueblo, Colorado, on this seventh day of April, 2009. It's a very important date to remember, dear listeners, because today we're inaugurating our Screen Legends Hall of Fame project, as a way of honoring outstanding cinema contributions in a variety of areas. Our first honorees are scheduled to be inducted into the Legendary Actress Division during today's show. And with us today are James Colt Harrison and Diana Sanger, who have agreed to serve on the selection committee along with me for this important project. I'm going to tell you a little bit about their background so you know that they're eminently qualified for these positions. James is the premier film critic for the La Jolla Village News, and he's written a complete history of the early Hollywood studios and is currently working on a book about the subject. Diana, the founder and editor of Classic Movie Guide, is also the entertainment editor for San Diego's East County Gazette. Because of their expertise in this area, both James and Diana recently served as guest panelists at Robert Osborne's 5th Annual Classic Film Festival. But before bringing our guests on, let's see if my excellent co-host, Jazz Shaw, is ready to serve not only as the co-host, but also as the chat wrangler, because I think Nikki will not be able to be with us on the air. I think she will be hanging out in the chat, though, and we really appreciate that. So, Jazz, are you ready to learn more about the legendary film actresses we're honoring today, and is the chat room ready to go?
The chat is up and running, and I'm as ready as I could possibly be with the amount of notice and a topic that very much excites me, yes.
Great. Well, now then, since James and Diana have been frequent guests on our show, it's my pleasure to welcome them back to Movie Addict Headquarters. Diana, thanks for helping us with our Screen Legends Hall of Fame project.
I'm excited to be here, Betty Jo.
Well, you always add so much to our show, Diana, and so does James, so... James, we're glad you could be here with us today, too. How are things in beautiful La Jolla?
Well, they're as beautiful as ever here by the sea, and I'm happy to be on the show again with you and Diana, and it's going to be fun.
I think it will be a lot of fun. It's always fun when you're on the show, James, but you know what the tradition is here, ladies first. So,
yes.
So I think maybe Jazz might have a question for Diana. Am I right, Jazz?
Yeah, why don't we kick it off, because this is probably going to eat up the time far too fast. Given the topic, Diana, you've selected two actresses for us for the Screen Legends Hall of Fame. Who would they be?
I selected Jean Harlow and Ingrid Bergman.
Oh, nice choices.
I agree, because we had, last year, I was checking our archives, Jazz, and it was April 8th last year when we did an entire show honoring Ingrid Bergman. It was about her wonderful biography, I think, that had just been put out by Charlotte Chandler, I believe. Guess who was also on the show that day? Miss Diana Sanger.
Indeed.
So this isn't...
I guess that cut down some of my homework, huh?
So that's one. No, that isn't the reason that you chose her, though. I know.
Oh no!
She's really a wonderful choice. But well, why do you think that Ingrid Bergman and Jean Harlow qualify as screen legends?
Well, Jean Harlow was the actual original blonde bombshell before Marilyn Monroe. She was voted number 22 on the American Film Institute's list of the greatest American screen legends, female of all time, and she was the first actress to ever appear on the cover of Life magazine.
Really?
And I thought it was funny that when she became the first blonde, that sales of peroxide soared across the country. She became a star at 16, but unfortunately she died at 26 from kidney problems.
Very early.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, Diana, I have to confess that I have never seen a complete Jean Harlow film. I've seen lots and lots of clips of her, and she's simply fascinating to watch.
Well, I know I have, but, there's lots of clips out there, too.
Oh, she was just so gorgeous, and I even saw one clip of her when the musicals were big. Every studio was making every musical they possibly could. They even had Jean Harlow singing in one of them, and that wasn't the greatest clip of Jean Harlow. What a beauty.
She made 41 films in her 10-year career.
Now, out of 41 films, though, Diana, that's great because it leads us right into the next thing. Out of both of their various performances, can you give us your favorites? The favorite performances by these two actresses, you know, that would have qualified them to be in our Hall of Fame.
Well, one of her first films was Hell's Angels, Howard Hughes' 1930s film about two brothers who go off to war and fall for her. And it was actually during this film in which Howard Hughes changed her from the plain Jane to the blonde bombshell that she became. So he was actually responsible, I think, for the rest of her career. One of the most remembered, I think, is Public Enemy with James Cagney.
Yeah.
She didn't have a lead role, but she played Gwen, who he essentially fell for, and there's that famous scene where he pushes the grapefruit in the other lady's face, Mae Clark, who played Kit. So
that is a famous scene.
Public Enemy was a great film.
I'd like to interject something. Jean Harlow was also famous for something else, and that is she was the first actress not to wear any undies under her satin gowns, and so that was very provocative for the time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We're not going to ask how you found that out.
Men loved her.
Well, what about Ingrid Bergman? I know that people can go to the archives of that show and learn more about our opinions about Ingrid Bergman, but just kind of summarize why you have picked her as your selection for the Hall of Fame and maybe your favorite movies and performances of hers.
Well, you know, she became known for, of course, her pretty face. She was hailed as one of the most leading actresses who really didn't even need makeup because she was so beautiful. You know, she nominated for 7 Academy Awards. She won 3, which was the most Oscar awarded actress next to Katharine Hepburn. But, you know, she's just unforgettable. I mean, you know, Casablanca, need to say more.
Well,
but,
right there, And such a classic beauty.
We have to mention Casablanca at least once in every show for jazz.
You're making me feel guilty.
No, but I wholeheartedly agree. I was looking here at her 3 movies that she won Oscars for: Gaslight, and Anastasia, Murder on the Orient Express. Right, but she did have 7 nominations. So
right.
Definitely.
We just watched that one again last week, Murder on the Orient Express. What a great film.
She played the gamut of roles, you know. One of my favorites was Alfred Hitchcock's Notorious, you know, when she plays a spy opposite Cary Grant and just keeps us fraught with fright the whole time.
Absolutely. And
Claude Rains played a great part in that, too, because he was such a wonderful actor.
Absolutely.
He was, and got cheated out of an Oscar, didn't he, Jazz, for Casablanca?
Absolutely.
There's
true.
Two mentions.
And it's no surprise, if I had been on the expert panel, I already had my 2 picked, and she was one of mine, yes.
And I bet I can guess who the other one would be.
You want to try?
I will try, but I'm not sure that everyone would think that she would be legendary, but maybe you're right, Lauren Bacall.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Those are my two choices.
Oh, yeah, I would think she's legendary. She was a great beauty at 19 when she broke into film, and I fell in love with her. I mean, she's just wonderful, and she has that great manner about her. You just can't keep your eyes off of her. So
yeah, those are my two favorites, although I also was, I thought Veronica Wood was in the running, but I'm going to stop talking because we still have more nominations to go through.
That's right, we do. We've just gotten through two of them and two of the very important ones. So let's move on to you, James. Which actresses have you selected for our Hall of Fame?
And by the way, James, if you could speak up just a little bit or get closer to the mic, some of the people in chat are saying you're a little bit low on their end.
Oh, okay, sure.
That's better.
Is that better? Okay.
That is better, yes, thank you.
Yeah, okay. My choices are Marilyn Monroe and Betty Davis.
Ah, very different types of actresses. From
yes.
one extreme to the other.
Exactly, they're total opposites.
Really? And being so different, what would you say are their qualifications to put them in our Hall of Fame?
Well, Marilyn Monroe, of course, is still famous 50 years after she died. She was one of a kind. She was sort of like a latter-day Jean Harlow, but she became popular in the 50s. And Betty Davis was the ultimate screen actress as opposed to stage actress. Although she did start out on the stage, she became the quintessential film actress, and everybody looks to her today, including Meryl Streep.
She certainly did rack up a number of nominations, too. Actually, she did win two
she
Oscars,
won two, yeah.
One for Jezebel and one for Dangerous, but I think, is it about 11 nominations?
Yeah, about 11 nominations. She should have won probably for Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, but she didn't. And she should have won for All About Eve, but she didn't win for that one either.
I'm surprised at that because All About Eve won so many Oscars, and for Betty Davis not to win one for that,
yeah.
it doesn't seem fair at all.
No.
But a little bird told me, getting back to Marilyn Monroe, that you actually interviewed Marilyn Monroe in person at one time. Is that correct?
That is very true. I was 19 years old at the time, and I was going to the University of California in Berkeley, and they were down here in Coronado shooting Some Like It Hot. And I spent the entire week on the set with Marilyn and Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis and Billy Wilder and Tony Curtis's then wife, Janet Leigh, who happened to be pregnant with Jamie Lee Curtis. So that don't try to figure out how old I am because I always lie about my age anyway.
Well, what an experience for a 19-year-old. Was she the first star that you interviewed? She must have been because you were just starting out doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was just starting out with the college magazine, and she was the very first movie star I ever interviewed. So I started at the top, and my career has been going downhill ever since.
I don't think that it's been going downhill at all.
Well, she was wonderful. I mean, there I was, a nobody, 19 years old, furtively rolling around on the set. They all seemed to accept me okay. It was really nice. And I went up to Marilyn one day, and I said, Marilyn, would you pose for a picture for me? And she, using her little girl voice at the time, she says, oh, yes, Jimmy, anything. Would you like me to go down by the water? She did.
Sound just like Marilyn.
I don't look like her, though.
Well, what's your favorite movie and performance of both of these stars, Betty Davis and Marilyn Monroe?
Oh, gosh. Well, with Betty Davis, it would have to be All About Eve, mainly because the script by Joseph Mankiewicz was so brilliant and so witty, and he gave Betty the best line she ever had in a film. I loved her in that, and I loved her in Dark Victory because I cry every time I see it, and The Letter because I loved how she was shooting her husband, and that was great too. But she gave so many great performances. It doesn't matter really which film you pick. There is a great performance in every one of them.
She was excellent in a film with Paul Henreid called Now Voyager.
Now Voyager, yes, and the two cigarette scene.
Yeah.
Where he lights her cigarette. It's a very romantic scene, very simple, but a very romantic scene where he lights her cigarette and then hands it to her, and then she smokes it.
Well, James gets a lot of support from the chat, I must say, for his choices.
Oh, yeah.
And also quite a few votes coming in, by the way, for Meryl Streep and Maggie Smith, Angela Lansbury also being mentioned. But, Betty Jo, you let me go first, which I just butted in on you. Do you have two picked out also?
I certainly do, and I'm so glad that you asked because I could hardly wait. In fact, some people have said that I just set up the Hall of Fame for a Screen Legend so that I could talk about these two actresses, but that's not true.
Well, we won't accuse you of that.
Before I name my two, I want to thank the people in the chat for their contributions. We really do appreciate hearing from you. But my first one is Marlena Dietrich.
Oh,
we are really going back now with Marlena Dietrich. But I saw her in person when she was 70 years old. She was doing a concert that my husband and I attended. She looked stunning. She wore a skin-tight, sparkling white gown that matched her perfectly coiffed platinum hair, and this sultry, her famous husky voice, you know, just added to her performance on the stage. And she sang these songs that made her famous on screen: Falling in Love Again, Lily Marlene, Little Joe, See What the Boys in the Back Room Will Have, and The Laziest Gal in Town, and When the World Was Young. And of course, I remembered all those songs so well because she was doing these songs in the movies, you know, while I was growing up, and she was just a favorite of mine. The films that she appeared in: Destry Rides Again, The Flame of New Orleans, Golden Earrings, Stage Fright, Seven Sinners, The Spoilers, Pittsburgh, Touch of Evil, and Rancho Notorious. And her list of leading men, it kind of reads like a who's who of A-list male actors: Gary Cooper, Jimmy Stewart, Cary Grant, John Wayne, Randolph Scott, Tyrone Power. Then it goes on and on and on. But I think the role that made her famous is important to mention because it wasn't in a Hollywood production. She played Lola, a seductive vamp, in Joseph von Sternberg's German film The Blue Angel. And that film just, you know, skyrocketed internationally, and that's how she came to fame. And then when she came to Hollywood, of course, she even became more and more popular.
Well, there goes another one for my Netflix list.
Oh, absolutely. And
I have not seen that one.
You haven't? Oh, that's, well, it's just, it's a classic in itself.
Oh, yeah,
but the other thing about Marlena is that because she was born in Germany, Nazi agents approached her in 1937 and wanted her to return to Germany and make films there, but she refused, and she just worked so hard during World War II, selling war bonds and making anti-Nazi broadcasts beamed into Germany, and she actually was awarded the Medal of Freedom for her patriotic efforts. So that's kind of an interesting sidelight on Marlena Dietrich's career. But, you know, she was famous as much for her cabaret performances and her recordings that she made as she was for her film career. And she would get so many fans that would come out to see her no matter where she would perform in London or Paris or Moscow or Tel Aviv or Las Vegas or New York or Berlin. But in 1975, while she was doing a show in Sydney, Australia, she broke her leg, and she never appeared on stage again. And she died in kidney failure at 90 years of age in 1992. Everybody that loved her just, you know, were so sad. Entertainment Weekly voted her the 43rd greatest movie star of all time, and Empire Magazine named her one of filmdom's 100 sexiest stars.
Well,
so,
who could have guessed that Betty Jo would pick somebody who was famous for musicals?
No, that's a big that's a big surprise for everybody, isn't it? Absolutely. And my second actress is not an award winner. I don't think she received any award, except she did get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, I believe. And perhaps she won a couple of Sour Apples Award because she wasn't tip-top in every film, but there's no movie actress who ever sizzled on screen like Rita Hayworth in the film Gilda back in 1946 when she sang Put the Blame on Mame. I mean, she almost jumped off the screen. And at that time, women wanted to be her. Men of all ages dreamed about her, and World War II servicemen couldn't get enough Rita Hayworth pinups. So she
was on every locker of the guys.
Absolutely, and on the planes, she definitely was. Now, Gilda is my favorite movie, and that's my favorite performance. And I thought that she and Glenn Ford had the best chemistry of any actor and actress on screen. But she had some other very good movies, and her performances, I thought, were fine. In Blood and Sand, she was Linda Darnell's rival for bullfighter Tyrone Power's attention, so that was a wonderful film. She danced with Gene Kelly in CoverGirl. Okay, so we have another musical. But, you know, Rita Hayworth didn't do her own singing. She was a wonderful dancer because she was the daughter of a Spanish dancer and his partner. Her name, before she changed it to Rita Hayworth, was Margarita Carmen Cancino. So she really did have the dance background. She was she danced with Fred Astaire in You'll Never Get Rich and in You Were Never Lovelier. And she was with Victor Mature in My Gal Sal. And she made more films than Gilda with Glenn Ford. She did A Fair in Trinidad and The Loves of Carmen. So she won my heart, of course, with her wonderful dancing and that performance in Gilda. But she did not have a very lucky private life either. She was married 5 times, once to Orson Welles, once to Prince Ali Khan, and she was misdiagnosed as an alcoholic in her later years. She suffered from Alzheimer's disease, but they misdiagnosed that, and she suffered, you know, a lot of humiliation because of that. But she had to be then placed in the care of her daughter, Yasmin. So she had a very sad life. I was disappointed with Linda Carter's portrayal of Rita Hayworth in a TV movie. I'm sorry that they did that, but I am so happy that we have the DVDs of Rita Hayworth's movies because we can enjoy her unique movie magic, and that's so true about all of these actresses that we're inaugurating into the Screen Legends Hall of Fame.
Well, those are two great picks.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Really, and let's give Diana a chance if you got a second. Here's your chance to argue. What do you think about Betty Jo's picks? Are they worthy, or here's your big chance to shoot her down?
Diana has shot me down before, believe it or not, but go ahead.
Well, you know, of course they're worthy. I mean, they're legends, and both of them are just enjoyable to watch, and, you know, they're true artists in their own rights, and sadly that's not much we find today, but I found it interesting that you mentioned her unlucky marriage thing, because that was the same thing Jean Harlow had.
Right.
Her first husband she divorced after 2 years. Her second husband, producer Paul Byrne, committed suicide after 2 months of marriage.
Oh, yeah.
And her third marriage to cinematographer Harold Rosen lasted only 8 months. And she found the true love of her life, William Powell, but died before they could get married.
Really?
Sad life she had. Sad
yeah,
life she had.
Sad. Yeah, very sad.
Yeah.
James, how about you?
Well, Betty Jerry, you missed one great Technicolor musical of Rita Hayworth's. And that's
oh, tell
Down
me, tell me.
Earth.
Which one?
Down to Earth.
Oh, Down to Earth, where she played Terpsichore.
Yes, yes, and her red hair was just flaming in that movie, and she looked so beautiful.
She was the goddess of dance. Oh,
yes.
I'm so sorry I missed that. Thank you for reminding us about that.
And just as a sidelight, Rita Hayworth, I think, was the first female that my brother fell in love with. He's 3 years older than I am, and he was just crazy about Rita Hayworth, and it was Rita this or Rita that, and I wanted to hit him, you know, just shut up, because I wasn't interested at the time.
You were still gaga over Marilyn Monroe.
That's true.
Yeah, well, that was later.
Oh.
I became gaga over Marilyn. And my
he was saving loved. Himself for Marilyn.
Yeah.
Well, you know that the chat has been checking in with a couple other interesting suggestions while you folks were educating us on those, and if Betty Jo doesn't mind.
Please.
Two interesting ones that popped up were Greta Garbo, and this one I didn't even see coming, but Lucille Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Oh, those are interesting, and in fact, that's a very nice segue into the next question that I had, because we will be inaugurating more legends, you know, during the next few months. So we do want some suggestions, and in this case, we do want suggestions for other actresses to be considered. Already, Fausta Wirtz emailed me this morning that she thinks that Rosalind Russell is someone who should be considered. What do you think about that suggestion, James and Diana?
I definitely agree. But, you know, going back to some of the ones that Jazz mentioned, to me, legendary means gone. I mean, they're legendaries today, but, you know, they're still here, so I think we have to wait until they're done.
That's a good point.
Okay, yes, it is, because that was, I think, my concern about Lauren Bacall and Elizabeth Taylor. They might be considered legendary, but as you say, they're still with us, and in fact, I think Lauren Bacall is still in movies, isn't she?
Yeah,
she has one in production right now. I was just checking her IMDb this week. Yes.
Yeah. So, but anyway, but Rosalind Russell, Greta Garbo, Lucille Ball. Just off the top of my head, I was thinking about Lana Turner, Carol Lombard, Jean Arthur, Myrna Loy, Claudette Colbert, Hedy Lamarr,
Grace Kelly.
Grace Kelly, exactly.
Sophia Loren.
Yeah.
She's still alive.
Or she's still here, that's true. Yeah.
That's true. Paulette Goddard, Veronica Lake, Joan Fontaine, Olivia de Havilland, Susan Hayward.
Joan Fontaine is still alive. I think she's about 90.
And so is Olivia de Havilland.
Yeah, she's a couple years older than her sister.
That's right. So that, and Barbara Stanwyck. How could I have forgotten Barbara Stanwyck, Katharine Hepburn.
I was going to say, we're being reminded that nobody mentioned Audrey Hepburn.
And Audrey Hepburn. Thank you from the chat. Yes, and Irene Dunn. So I'm hoping that if anyone has any other suggestions, if you don't get a chance to put them in the chat.
Grace Kelly.
Grace, yeah.
I think we already said that one. Sorry.
Yeah.
We did get that one. But I'm going to ask you to put my email in the chat, Jazz, if you will, so that people can email me their suggestions. And that's realtalk@comcast.net. And that's RealTalk, realtalk@comcast.net.
And that's in the chat now.
Very good. So don't hesitate if you don't get a chance to put your have your suggestion mentioned now, chatters. Just
now, we're going to need a call from you because we were discussing this offline in the chat here. It's interesting what Diana brought up, but are we restricted to only people who are deceased? And that sort of shot a hole in one of the other questions I had for Diana and Robert, which was we're talking about, of course, the real legends from the movies that all of us love going back to the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. But I was also curious if there's anybody from later on, perhaps even in the 70s and 80s, still alive, perhaps still working today, that has shown so much talent that you think they may eventually rise to that level? Or are we just disqualifying everyone who is not deceased?
Well, we could have contemporary legends. We could have a section.
Well, future legends, perhaps.
or future legends. We could do that. What do you think, James? We should be able to consider some of the people who have contributed so much to the cinema and they're still going strong, even though they started out in the classic age.
Well, yes, I think we could have contemporary future legends, and then the regular legends from the 30s and 40s and 50s as a separate category.
Right. We're going
right,
to
and we weren't. And just to be clear, we weren't discussing any, you know, flash in the pan people that just came around in this decade. But there are people, you know, from the 70s, as I said, who have established a 20, 30-year career and are well on their way to having a very large, filmography behind them.
Oh, yes, that's.
Well, I think one of Betty Jo's favorite would have to be Susan Sarandon.
Right, because she's still going strong, and she started out, over 30, 40 years
ago. Oh, that's
ago.
A nice choice, yeah.
So that would be definitely someone to consider. So we will have to give this more consideration. But our next group of inductees will be legendary actors. So, and then we'll be coming back to the actresses, later on. So if any of the listeners have suggestions for legendary actors, we definitely will take those into consideration. Do you have any actors that you're thinking about at this point, Diana?
I'd have to say James Cagney and Jimmy Stewart. They're two of my favorites. I could watch almost any of their films anytime. They were just so incredible.
Those are good. I had James Cagney as one of mine that I was going to suggest. What about you, James?
Well, I kind of like Edward G. Robinson, who is definitely a unique actor. He wasn't good looking, but he commanded the screen. Every time he was there, you only saw him. And I like William Powell, who had such a great sense of timing and
what a great choice.
Oh, and William Powell and Myrna Loy, were they ever terrific in the Thin Man series?
You know what I love about the William Powell, Myrna Loy pictures is that, to me, they're the sexiest movies ever made, and you never see any skin or that you don't see them in bed. It's just their repartee, their dialogue back and forth, which is so humorous and very sexy, and they didn't need to show everything in those days.
No, and that's such a big part of the skill from the classics, don't you think, James, that no matter what genre you're talking about, sexiness could be shown without showing skin. Hitchcock could do horror without showing blood and gore and knives going in and heads flying off and things. Things were implied, and there was a lot more art to it, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, Jazz. You're right, and I agree. To me, it's much more fascinating to see them able to do that without actually showing it.
I think I am
so tired of blood spurting on the walls today. I can hardly stand those movies anymore.
You know, we don't need to see that. And we don't need to see people jumping around from bed to bed. We know what's going on. We're adults. But just to hear the humor and the dialogue going back and forth between Myrna Loy and William Powell, I think is wonderful.
Well, it takes a little bit of talent to do the writing for the scenes, and sometimes I think that's that's a hard talent to come by, but I like your suggestions.
You guys have the chat exploding with suggestions for actors, I must say.
All right, good.
Very quickly, Clark Gable, another vote for Jimmy Stewart, Mickey Rourke. Well, Mickey Rourke's very contemporary. I'm sorry about that. I don't think he's quite there yet. William Powell, Gregory Peck, Rock Hudson, and Orson Welles.
Oh, Henry Fonda, Buster Keaton.
Oh,
the list goes on forever.
Yeah. Oh, also Cary Grant. Did anybody mention Cary Grant?
No, but
I've not seen Cary Grant come up yet. No. Although
Gene
I had also
Kelly.
Picked Jimmy Stewart, and of course nobody said Bogey. I'm gonna cry.
Well,
oh.
Well, you know what I think, Jazz. We did a tribute to Bogey a few months ago, so perhaps we could grandfather him in.
Oh, I've been corrected. It was not Mickey Rourke. They were saying Mickey Rooney. My apologies.
Mickey Rooney, the top box office star for so many years.
And thank
years.
You, Chad.
And he's still going strong.
He's still kicking.
Yeah, but he's probably on that list of people that have such
Meryl
a huge list that, you know, he could qualify.
Yeah, well, oh, this is so exciting. I'm just enjoying every minute of it, and I hope that the suggestions keep coming in, but I wanted to take just a couple of minutes because we were so excited about the Robert Osborne Classic Film Festival after hearing Fred Willard talk about it as a guest on the show. And by the way, if you haven't heard that archive, please check that out. He was just wonderful. But James and Diana, do you have just a little bit that you could tell us about your reaction to that festival? Do you want to start, Diana?
Well, it was every year gets more exciting. I can't tell you how much more fun it is, and it's just, you know, new every year with the new films. This year we had a great lineup of films, and one of my favorites was The Godfather, which I could watch 100 times. And Talia Shire actually came, and Jim and I both got to interview her, and she gave her insight into the film, which was absolutely wonderful. And just having Robert there and Fred there to co-host and tell us all about these films, it's just an incredible experience.
That is, I hope someday that I'm able to join you at that festival. James,
me
it was
too.
it was your first year, wasn't it, James? What did you enjoy about it?
Well, I was thrilled to be asked. That was a great honor, and I can't tell you how nice Robert Osborne is. He's just so down to earth and so caring and loving, and he's just the sweetest guy you'd ever want to meet. And he made everything easy for all of us. And Diana is an old hand at it. She's been there a couple times, but we enjoyed interviewing Talia Shire, and she gave us some insight into the film, both Godfather and Rocky, and her brother, Francis Ford Coppola, and her son, Jason Schwartzman, and her niece, Sophia Coppola.
Wow.
That's quite a family.
That is quite a family.
Yeah.
Well, James, didn't you tell me that Robert Osborne had to leave his own festival early because he was going to visit with three legendary film actresses?
Yes, he did. He had a previous engagement made over a year ago, which happened to fall in during the festival, and he had to go to Florida to do a couple nights musical with Jane Powell, Jean Russell, and Arlene Dahl. So he appeared on stage with them. I wish we
Quick,
had
somebody field the question from the chat. Who was it that yelled Stella in Streetcar Named Desire?
That was Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando, thank you. Everybody was drawing a blank.
And we didn't mention Marlon Brando. Okay.
And we didn't mention him, and people were throwing out some other ones, too, just very fast. James Dean, Kirk Douglas, Gregory Peck, Jack Lemmon, and Ernest Borgnine, and I love Ernest Borgnine, and Robert Mitchum.
He's still alive.
A lot of those are alive, but I think they're in
that
possible future legends category. Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well,
you're doing a great job there, Jed.
Thank you. They keep me busy, and I'm trying to earn the high wages that Betty Jo pays me every week.
Yes, well, you do receive a lot of appreciation from me, and you're getting to rival Nikki, the wonderful Nikki Starr, with your multitasking ability. So,
I'm packing for an extended trip. Well, I'm doing it, so I hope you're all impressed. Ba-dum-bum. Thank you. Tread the veal. I'll be here all week. Please continue.
Jazz, please tell our listeners what your what your big trip is, because I know they'd be interested. And
I'm not going to suck up the whole show with that. Just everybody knows I'm going to New York City to see an auto show down there, and I'll be in Manhattan for the next couple of days. But I'll be back after that, and I will be here next Tuesday to join Betty Jo again. Enough about me.
Oh, great. I'm so glad you'll be back next Tuesday to join us. And well, this has been such a fun show. James and Diana, do you have anything else that you would like to say about projects that you're involved in, or anything about your nominees that you weren't able to get in before this time? How about you, James?
Well, all I can say is that Marilyn Monroe became a definite legend and will remain one. She sells more articles today than she ever did during her lifetime, her estate, that is. She makes lots of money. And she was quite funny, too, in her own right. She said many funny things in her life. I guess we don't have time to go into that now, but we'll have to do another show about her.
Absolutely. We can maybe do an entire show.
We should, because James and I will end up arguing a little bit on that one, because
I
was never all that impressed with Marilyn Monroe as an actress.
Well, she had some moments for sure
that were great,
and but not always. But in terms of her star quality, I think there's no doubt about that. Diana, any last minute remarks or bits of information that you'd like to share with us?
Well, one thing which I think we talked about on our Ingrid Bergman show, but I will repeat, was I was surprised about her very close relationship with Alfred Hitchcock. They just seemed like opposites, and they were great family friends, and she was at his house with his wife almost constantly, and her and Alfred were always playing tricks on each other, and they both had a great sense of humor, which I didn't often see come out in her film, so I thought that was interesting.
Yes,
and
that
Hitchcock
was.
Brings up another thing, since we do have just a couple of minutes before Betty Jo cuts us off. Another question that's come up. Betty Jo, will your Hall of Fame at some point in the future possibly constitute a series of shows, or at least one show, and include the greatest directors?
Yes, the greatest directors, the legendary directors, legendary, and thank you for that question, cinematographers, screenwriters, costumers, you know, endless, whatever. Those are the things that we've thought about, but if there are suggestions from our listeners, we'll certainly follow up on those, too.
I think directors, you know, they're fully, you know, right in there and deserve props to everybody else, even if we don't always see them on screen.
Right.
Absolutely.
We definitely need to give credit to directors. I can't believe it. Every week, the time just goes by so quickly. Our time is almost up.
And we have two of the most delightful guests today. Thank you both so much.
I think so, too. Thank you. You just are wonderful together or separate, and you just liven things up and make the time go by so quickly. So
we could
James
shut up for
Diana,
the whole hour, and I swear they could run the whole thing by themselves.
they absolutely could, and I think they're thinking about it. So let's be careful about that, Jazz. But we'll be calling on them many times in the future for sure.
They'll be calling us as guests. Oh no.
That's right. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support in connection with this show. Special thanks as always to Jazz Shaw and Nikki Starr for everything they do to make Movie Addict Headquarters so much fun, and to James Colt Harrison and Diana Sanger for being such great guests again.
Yay.
Thanks also to everyone who listened live or to the archives or participated in the chat. We really appreciate it. And another shout out to Sunny of Sunny Days on Blog Talk Radio for featuring my books and some of my favorite songs on Monday's show. Listeners, please come back next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for another lively discussion about movies. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. As usual, here's the talented A.J. Daniels to close the show with a song we dedicate to all our loyal Blog Talk Radio listeners.
much I love you, then you'd be forced to love me too. If you knew how much I adore you, you'd stay with me and be true.